Thank you. We don't say thank you enough. We don't live like we thank you. But today, Father, we thank you. Thank you for sending your only Son to die in our place. Help us to live in light of that reality today. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. All right. We have our last session on conscience, and I'm looking at the clock, realizing I don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to try as best we can to quickly move through the content for today. Remember, we have Friday growth groups today, or Friday this week, Friday growth groups, so be ready for that. A good discussion there. I really appreciate the comments you give me, feedback you give me. Hey, can we do this? Can we do this? Can we talk about this question? I love that stuff. So don't feel afraid to stop me in the hallway or on the sidewalk and let me know what you're thinking. Last time we ended, we were talking about the fact that even the world says, always let your conscience be your guide. And we talked about the fact that always? What happens if your conscience is wrongly condemning you? And that's when our topic today steps in, right? We need to calibrate our conscience. Or if you don't like that whole mechanical theme of calibration, you can go with a garden theme. How should you remove the weeds from the garden of your conscience? When Dr. A spoke on this topic of conscience, he gave us this diagram here. Hopefully you were able to understand what was going on here. We've got two people, Jen and Tasha, and they have different ideas about what is right and wrong based on their conscience. As Dr. A said, no conscience is the same. We all have different consciences about what we believe is right and wrong. But then there's God's will. And as you can see, some of what Jen believed was wrong and some of what Tasha believed was wrong was actually in that triangle as well. But there are things outside the triangle. So that's one of the truths we come across in this particular diagram, is that your conscience is not necessarily identical to the voice of God. So that's something we need to be very careful about. It is a warning light, and generally it's pointing us in the right direction, but it can be uncalibrated. So we need to calibrate it to make sure it's back. Just to give you a couple ideas of uncalibrated consciences, a Catholic's conscience tells him to obey the Pope. Yikes, right? A Mormon's conscience binds her to Mormon ceremonies. So those consciences need to be calibrated, and they need to be calibrated to a standard. They need to be aligned to a standard. Someone back here gave us an awesome definition last time. Aligning ourselves to a standard. And that standard is the Word of God. We don't just calibrate it and tighten it and make sure it goes the way that we want to go, right? We're calibrating it to a standard. We're finding a standard and saying, what is that standard? And that's the Word of God. That's what we're calibrating our standards to. So another thought on this is that your conscience can change at any given moment in your life. There might have been times in your life when you believed something was wrong or you believed something was right, and today you actually don't believe that any longer. Your conscience has been calibrated. Hopefully it's being calibrated by the Word of God. There are other ways, though, that your conscience can be calibrated, right? One of those ways is by becoming more hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Right? We talked about this last time, but more sin that we let into our life, it puts calluses over our conscience. And that's something that we need to be very careful about. That's something that should alarm us greatly when we start to notice that our conscience is being calloused. That's very alarming. Your conscience might change and might be calibrated by following the standards of others, whether those are good standards or bad standards. Your conscience can be calibrated according to other people. But the gold standard of calibration, of course, is by conforming to the truth of the Word of God. That is so very important. Looking at my time, so I think I'm going to skip my next slide and go right on. Can you think of an example in Scripture where someone had their conscience calibrated? Ooh, that's a tricky one. I see a hand. Mr. Rose. Very good. Yeah, this is a pivotal moment in church history, right? When Peter was about to receive some people who were coming to see him, and he was about dinner time, and he had gone up to the top of the roof of his home, and he fell into this trance, and God gave him a vision. And you remember that vision. God had taken a sheet, and he had lowered it down, And in that sheet were all these animals. Animals that, according to Jewish tradition and Jewish law, were forbidden to the Jewish people. And God said to Peter, "Rise, kill, and eat." And what did Peter say? "Absolutely, God. Thank you. We got the instructions. We're on it." Now, what did he say? He said, no, I'm not going to do that. I've never done those kinds of things. I'm not going to do it. And this vision happened to him three times. When God says something to you three times, what do you think? You think he means it? Yeah. And Peter gets up from this trance and he goes downstairs and there's a knock on the door and there's a Gentile. And I'm sure it just kind of popped with Peter right then. That's what God was meaning, right? We're supposed to welcome the Gentiles. That's something else the Jews would not do, welcome Gentiles into their home. So God was calibrating Peter's conscience on this topic of welcoming Gentiles. That's awesome. Now, that is not usual, okay? Generally speaking, God is not going to put you in a trance, tell you something three times, and you're just going to calibrate your conscience right there in 30 seconds. It's probably not going to happen, right? Typically, the calibration of your conscience will take years. Hopefully, it's done with a lot of meditation on Scripture, right? What does the Bible say about this particular topic? That's how I'm calibrating my conscience. But this is one of those moments when God just steps into the pages of history and says, "All right, Peter, this is what's going to happen." Now, if you know the rest of the story of Peter, did Peter always stay with this lesson? Was there another time in Peter's life when he just kind of fell flat on his face? Yeah. Later on in his life, a bunch of Jews came to visit him, Jewish leaders. And Peter said, "Oh, yeah, okay, Jewish leaders. All right. I guess I shouldn't be welcoming Gentiles while they're here." And he started pulling away from the Gentiles. And what had to happen? You guys remember? Yeah, Paul had to ride herd on this issue, didn't he? Paul comes in and says, "Peter, what are you doing? Why are the Gentiles over here and the Jews are over here? What is happening? That's not what the church is all about." And guess what? Peter had to have his conscience recalibrated, right? It's not just a one time, we're one and done, we're done, we got this, we're masters of this part of our conscience. This had to be something that Peter was recalibrated on. So that's a good lesson for us, right? Just because our conscience is calibrated correctly at one moment in our life does not mean that we're good to go. We've constantly got to be in the Word of God. We've constantly got to be recalibrating our consciences. So there's that good lesson. Now here's another important point that we should bring out as well. You should obey your conscience until you are convinced by Scripture that it needs adjusting. There are times in our lives when we wonder whether something is right or wrong. As we mentioned on Monday in chapel, when you have doubts about whether something is right or wrong, you should always follow your conscience until there's a moment when the Scriptures reveal to us that our consciences need adjusting. That's a very important principle. We don't just take our consciences and chuck it out the window. We obey our consciences until we are convinced. And that's a very important step. So I just wanted to make that very clear. Two ways to calibrate your conscience. One of those ways is by educating your conscience with truth, right? And we've already mentioned this, so let's just quickly review. By reading God's Word. We've got to be spending time in God's Word. That's why it's so important for us. By interacting with godly family members and leaders. Man, go to your church leaders. Have conversations with them. Talk to your teachers. Some guys were telling me yesterday about a conversation they were having with their teachers on this topic of conscience. That's awesome. I love that. That's a great thing. Find somebody who has gone through these roads before and listen to their wisdom. Nothing wrong with that. And by learning more truth, your conscience can actually be informed by truth that's actually outside of Scripture. Like if you find out that something, I thought that was okay, and now I find out that, yikes, it was actually illegal all along. Whoa, my conscience should be putting off some warning bells. So we should constantly be educating our consciences with truth, recalibrating all the time, and allow for time. This is a hard thing. I know in our society, we just want things to be done right now. And we have this fascination with immediate gratification on all things. I'll leave that aside for a second. Your conscience, as we mentioned earlier, can take years to change. I'm just telling you that as I'm here on the other side of 40, there's a long time that goes by. Years will pass. And God will sometimes be working on you in one area, and then it'll come back years later. God can work on those things through years. We're meditating on Scripture, so important. And recalibration, as I mentioned, will be necessary. Quickly on our conscience calibration. We're going to do some conscience math today. One of the ways you can calibrate your conscience is through math. Oh, yes, somebody love math out there. Where's the math people? All right, five of you. Great. Dr. A had his hand up right there, by the way. Dr. A, by the way, is back. I don't know if you noticed that or not. He just snuck in here, so I hope you guys, yeah. Aw. I love that guy. So give him your greetings afterward. Maybe a big group hug. He's right in the middle, so everyone just kind of rush him all at one time, and that would be awesome. Great stuff. Okay, sorry. We're on math. So I just saw Dr. A's hand go up. Conscience calibration. Conscience can be calibrated, first of all, by adding things to your conscience. Adding missing commands to your conscience. So, for example, let's say someone is out there and they struggle with gossip. Right? Gossip is a sin. The Bible is very clear about that. It's damaging to people's lives. So there's a person who deals with gossip in their life. What do I have to add? What if I am going through life and I'm just thinking, gossiping's okay. It's all right. It's not a problem. I like to tell people rumors about other people and hurt their feelings. It's great. What if I'm okay with that? My conscience needs to be calibrated, and it needs to be calibrated by adding something. Right? And what is the thing that needs to be added to my conscience to calibrate it so that gossip is no longer a thing that I accept? Gossiping is a sin. That's what I need to add. And where am I going to get that information to add it to my conscience? I'm going to go to the Bible, right? I'm reading the Bible. And I'm like, whoa, gossiping's a sin. I've got to add that to my conscience. So that the next time I'm thinking, hey, you know what, I'm going to tell this rumor about this person over here and be good. Oh, wait, my conscience is going to start affecting me, right? The warning light is going to start going off. The watchdog is going to start barking. And I'm going to know, wait a second, gossiping isn't right. I've got to add that to my conscience. What if somebody's just lying? What if you're just lying all the time and you got a problem with that? But you don't really have a problem with that because your conscience says it's all right. I have to add this. God is not the God of deception. Satan is the father of lies. And he's told so many, hasn't he? And lies are something that God abhors. So I've got to add that to my conscience as I read the Word of God. What if I struggle with living with my boyfriend? And not just, you know, living, but we're just, you know what I'm saying. So you're living with your boyfriend, right? And that's okay with you. What do you have to add to your conscience? You've got to go to the Word of God and says, whoa, sexual immorality is wrong. And I've got to add that to my conscience, right? We can go on all day. The other thing we can do with our conscience, though, is subtract things. This is a little bit harder, perhaps, to illustrate, but let me see if I can illustrate for us today before we leave. You need to subtract, perhaps, unnecessary rules from your conscience. This is going to be a hard thing. I struggled with illustrations last night. Okay, this morning at 1 o'clock. I was struggling to come up with things, but let me just kind of give you some examples of how this might work. The one that I came up with, since it's that time of the year, is Halloween. Now, we need to be very clear about this right before we even talk about it, is that if Halloween is a holiday that your parents are not all about you celebrating, then what do you need to do? You need to listen to your parents, okay? So at this point in your life, you are living under the authority of a lot of different features, right? You've got your church, you've got your family, you've got your teachers at school, you've got a lot of different authority figures in place. But I'm just using this as an illustration because when I grew up, Halloween was not a thing that we celebrated. Where I come from, maybe close to New England where the Salem witch trials took place, it was kind of a demonic kind of a holiday. Now, I know for a lot of people, it's like a fall festival. I go out and get candy and stuff my face. That's a thing that you could do. But Halloween, is it right or is it wrong? And for a long time, I had to struggle with this. My parents struggled with this. They didn't know. They were newly saved, and they didn't know, is this Halloween something that we celebrate together? But in the end, my parents came to the belief, because they subtracted from their conscience, the fact that Halloween had become, over the years, more of a fall festival. So they were able to remove that element from their conscience and allow us to participate in those kinds of festivities. Does that make sense? Are we good with that? I don't know if I'm communicating that very clearly. Let's try another example. Root beer. I know. I can't even believe I put that on the screen, but it's there. We're going to have to stick with it now. Root beer. That's right. I was right. The author of the book that we're reading talks about root beer, and it was a problem. There was a guy who had recently been saved, and I don't know if he struggled with alcoholism in the past, but he just did not believe that his conscience would allow him to drink root beer. I was in the parking lot of a store over here across the street recently, and there was a guy, and he was just chugging away in his bottle, and I was like, oh my goodness, oh, it's root beer, okay. So it can look a little bit sketch, right? So this guy apparently had this issue with root beer. Now, people would talk to him and say, you know what, root beer is not alcohol. It's not going to affect you. And the Bible, of course, is very clear on drunkenness, so you need to be very careful about that. And eventually, over years and years of reading the scriptures and understanding what the scriptures said, he was able to subtract that unnecessary rule from his conscience. Here's another one. Hate. No, hate is a problem. But when I was growing up, this is going to sound weird to you, my family had a rule. And the rule was, we don't say the word hate. I don't know. Anybody else have a family that has a rule? Just me. Okay. Oh, we got a few. Great. I didn't know. There were other people like me in the world. I feel so accepted. Thank you. Whew. Okay. Anyway, my family, my parents, said, we do not say hate. And that was just the end. I said hate a couple times. I'm still alive, but barely. And that's it. I learned that we do not say hate. To this day, when I say that word, and even now as I'm saying it, my conscience is affecting me, right? I know you find it silly, but that is a powerful word when you especially say it in the direction of someone else. I hate you. Man, that just ooh, that's just right here. Now, I have eventually gotten over that. I can say the word hate, especially when I can say I hate sin, because we can hate sin. We can absolutely do that. But that word is kind of a problem for me. But that's something that I am gradually learning, and it's still with me, gradually learning to subtract from my conscience. Okay, does that make sense? We're on track with that? Just one more example, walking on the grass. Oh, yes. Woo! I know. Turns out there's a rule here at Bob Jones Academy that we walk on the grass, right? Now, that's just a rule at Bob Jones Academy. But we have to be very careful. Like the example of hate and the example of walking on the grass, those are really institutional rules. My parents had that as a rule. Probably has some biblical reason. That's why I chose walking on the grass, because there's really no biblical reason why not we don't walk on the grass. But that's an institutional rule. And we have to be very careful in separating institutional rules from Bible rules, right? Are you with me on that? That's a very important part of our conscience. Now, you may leave here at Bob Jones Academy after 4 years and go out and say, you know what I've learned at Bob Jones Academy? I don't walk on the grass. That's what you see somebody walking. Stop it. Don't walk on the grass, right? Especially if you come here in the university and then you have another 4 more years of not walking on the grass. And it suddenly gets deep inside your soul. And every time you see somebody doing it, your conscience is like, whoa, right? It's okay, guys. It really is. These are institutional rules that are done for the betterment of our institution, but they're not Bible rules. So sometimes we have to be very careful with that. Now, once again, if it's your parents' rule that you don't walk on the grass, guess what you don't do? Walk on the grass, okay? You don't walk on the grass because your parents have made that rule. So that's, I want to be very clear about that. I'm not saying that your parents' authority means nothing. We just need to be very careful. And I know the process of leaving a home after you get old enough and you go off to wherever you're going, that's a difficult process because you're carrying a lot of these rules with you and you're not sure exactly how to live in the world. And that's why we have to weigh everything against the Word of God. We always have to come back to the standard of the Word of God. Okay, we good? If you have questions about what I've said today, if I haven't been clear, please come see me. I'd love to clarify anything I said. Let's pray, and then we'll go. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this topic of conscience. You didn't leave us alone without an instruction manual. You gave us your words. And I'm praying, Father, that as we look into your word, that we would grow to become more like your Son. And we ask this in his name. Amen. All right.